Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. American Family Radio, I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. And you can watch the show at Facebook Live. We failed to mention that last hour, I think. That's an hour of just great viewing that people have missed now because we failed to mention it.
They could have been watching us. They could have been looking at us the whole time.
Well, you know what you can do this afternoon? You can go back and do the watch it. Watch the replay,
right?
As it were.
That's right.
Like some people would watch, like a ball game, like the Super Bowl.
We tape it,
and you tape it. They could do that with us and make some Rotel dip and some chips. And
that's what I'm talking about, right there. So Today's Issues Facebook page, we're live video streaming the show here. Walker, you got something to talk about there?
Yes. If you've been listening to AFR throughout the morning, then you've heard this. But if not, here it is. India Partners is a ministry that American Family Radio partners with once a year. And what India Partner does, what the ministry does, among other things, is provide safe havens or safe houses for children in Mumbai, India, who are escaping the red light districts. The red light districts, for those who don't know, are a lot of prostitution and drugs go on there. So boys and girls as young as 8 are escaping the red light districts of Mumbai, India. And through our partnership with American Family, with India Partners, we are providing nights of safety to those children. So here's to give you an idea of what your money will provide. Roughly $7 provides one day of safety, rescue, and care for a child escaping the red light districts. And $100 would provide about 2 weeks of safety to these children. So really, a gift of any amount will be appreciated and will go to India Partners to help provide nights of safety for these children. Here's how you can give. The phone number is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or you can visit afr.net.
Give that again, please.
877-616-2396, or you can visit afr.net.
We've worked with India Partners for several years now. They're a very credible organization. We vetted them. We know that the money you give to this campaign goes for the purpose we've stated here on the radio. So we were asking our American Family Radio listening audience to help us care for these children in India with this. So $7 buys what?
$7.08 provides one day of safety for one child.
Okay.
And then $100 would provide 2 weeks of safety. And if you're being very generous, $212 would provide about a month of safety.
What does safety mean?
Safety means that the India Partners would take in the children into this safe house and provide them shelter, food, and education and care, along with the gospel, most importantly,
right,
to these children.
Okay.
So that's what your money goes to, is to take care of children from...
Okay, and how do I give? If I want to give $20 today or whatever?
You can call 877-616-2396, or you can visit our website, afr.net, and give online.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Yes, Steve Jordahl, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning?
We'd be doing okay.
Yeah?
We'd be doing okay, Ed?
I'm doing excellent.
We'd be... You know, we're trying to cut out the verbs, Steve.
Yeah, verbs are way over.
Well, they're overrated and they're too used, so we'd be doing okay.
We'd be okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Right. Sounds more like Ebonics.
Yeah. Does it?
Remember Ebonics in the 1990s or something?
They take verbs out in Ebonics?
I don't know.
Ebonics?
Okay. That's too long ago for me to remember.
Okay.
The 90s.
And it's not because it's that long ago. It's because he's having a hard time remembering things.
That's right. That's exactly what I mean, Sam.
Go ahead.
Sam Jordahl.
I know you guys talked a last hour about the whole memo thing and everything, but there has been a Twitter war this morning, and you will not be surprised to know that on one end of it was President Trump, and on the other end of it was Adam Schiff, who is the Democrat ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee, which has been the committee that's been dealing with all of this and released that memo. So earlier this morning at 6:30 a.m., at least on my phone, so maybe it was 5:30 in Washington or 7:30 in Washington, Donald Trump tweeted out this. Little Adam Schiff, who is desperate. You guys talked about this tweet, didn't you?
We did.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a nursery rhyme.
But let's go over the nursery rhyme again.
So he said, little Adam Schiff, who is desperate to run for higher office, is one of the biggest liars and leakers in Washington, right up there with Comey, Warner, Brennan, and Clapper. Adam leaves closed committee hearings to illegally leak confidential information, must be stopped. So he tweeted that, but Adam Schiff, not one to take an insult, apparently sitting down, he replied with this. He said, Mr. President, I see you've had a busy morning of, quote, executive time, close quote. Instead of tweeting false smears, the American people would appreciate it if you turned off the TV and helped solve the funding crisis, protect Dreamers, or really anything else. So, Does it surprise you that Democrats and Republicans and the president not getting along on Capitol Hill?
This is exactly why I am not on Twitter. Personally, I'm saying. The only time I go on Twitter is if I'm reading an article about the Boston Bruins and someone has a tweet with an embedded video.
Right.
That's the only time I go on there, because it would be very tempting to get into these Twitter wars with people, because it's all just how abusive can you be in the shortest amount of words.
Yeah, I use it to collect news. It's a very, very good way, because reporters will often, when something's said,
they do.
You know, they'll Twitter's where you can get an awful lot of stuff. But I agree, a lot of Twitter is like reading the comments at the bottom of
yes,
an article.
Exactly.
And I never read those, because what's the point? I mean, so. Other news.
So he's.
Go ahead.
Little Adam. What do you call him?
Little Adam Schiff.
You know. I gotta
eating
tell
some
you,
curds
I gotta away. Tell you, in a bygone era, that would have offended me. I would have not have liked a president lowering himself to call somebody a name like that.
Yeah.
Right?
You're saying at this point,
I still wish it had not come to this.
Yes.
All right, in our American civil discourse here. Political discourse.
So to speak.
So to speak. So that's one side of me who longs for the dignity of Ronald Reagan, for example, who wouldn't go into the Oval Office if he wasn't wearing a suit and tie or a jacket. Remember that?
Yes.
But I can't change what our country has become, and that is the Twitter universe, or the instant reaction, the emotional response to things. And President Trump, but the other side of me is that it's about time that somebody punched back at the very biased liberal news media and the dishonest, look at me, I sound like President Trump, and the dishonest Democrat Party, which are trying to fundamentally change our country to be a socialist, George Soros,
Bernie Sanders
type man. So I've come to I wish it weren't. But this isn't Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan having a beer. Irishmen having a beer.
Things have changed.
trying to figure out how we best solve this problem, and they both have the best intentions for the country at heart.
Yeah.
This is destroy America, liberal left. Going after everything that we hold dear. So if Donald Trump, president, you know, wants to call him Little Adam,
well, and also
then I gotta say that there's a part of me that says,
bring it on.
Call these people out for who they are. Go ahead, Walker.
Well, if he would have left out little name calling, then he just calls out what Adam Schiff's doing wrong. That seems more appropriate to me.
That's
but
a good point.
But when you have like this memo, I'm holding it up for the Facebook viewers. When you have our federal government possibly illegally spying on American citizens, and you want me to get upset because our president
calls
someone little,
I know,
bigger fish to fry, as they say.
You got a great
also
point
a good
there.
Point.
Yeah, duly noted.
I've been trying to think for a while. I've been trying to mull over how is it that different people on the opposite sides of a political spectrum can see the same exact facts and draw polar opposite conclusions on something like that. And it, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the current election or Russia investigation, but just about anything. And it's come to mean down to this. Nobody trusts anybody in Washington or on the other side of their worldview anymore. There's no trust.
Well, you know, I'm not saying the Republicans are faultless in all this. Certainly there's enough blame to go around in terms of the discourse that's been lowered. But I'm going to tell you something. If you need any more proof that the National Democrat Party is anti-American, anti-American values, they're upset because the economy's doing well.
Yeah.
When you can get mad because the economy's doing well, you no longer, you're just proving your hatred for American values, the free enterprise system. You hate it because President Trump and the Republicans did something to improve the living standards of the American people because you want to keep them down so you can exploit that and make people vote for you more because you got more government programs to make up for the lack of economic good news.
Well, and there's no better example than the Black Caucus.
Yes.
In the U.S. in Congress, when you had the unemployment rate the lowest in the Black community, what, since 2010 or something? And then you have them also not honoring the Black parents. Remember that Trump invited, whose daughter had been killed by MS-13. You don't stand up and show right. your sympathy for that couple. And I'll add this too, Steve, to what you said. I think you're right. Nobody trusts anybody. Here's why I think that is. I think the country's not only polarized, it is in two mutually exclusive camps. Hmm. You cannot have a division like we have. You can't come to an agreement about how to split the difference when you have on one side conservatives, traditionalists, constitutionalists, people who believe in the foundational ideas of our founding fathers, and then socialists on the other hand. There is no middle ground between those two groups. So this is like the issue of slavery. You can't have partial slavery. As Abraham Lincoln said, it's all going to have to be one thing or the other, and that's what's driving the split in this country. You can't have an agreement between these two sides.
Also, to talk about name-calling, you know, President Trump calls him Little Adam. Schiff, and you could say, well, the president shouldn't do that. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what you shouldn't do. The left wingers call our ideas hateful,
yeah,
and bigoted and homophobic and Islamophobic and xenophobic and whatever else.
Phobias.
Yeah, they put that stuff on us all the time, which isn't our motive at all. Doesn't describe our motivations for our ideas at all. But they put those labels on you, and they do this all the time, and it's so unfair. Mm-hmm. So people on our side, Steve, are sick and tired of that kind of stuff, being called a basket of deplorables. So you know, when that kind of stuff's hurled our way, President Obama says that we're people who want to cling to our Bibles and our guns. I think it's how, and he said it in a demeaning, derogatory way. Is this, these people are a bunch of unsophisticated rednecks out here in this country, talking about Americans. Mm-hmm. When they want to do that kind of stuff all the time, and then they want to act indignant when the president calls somebody little. Yeah. I don't have any. Right. That's why people don't react and say, well, he shouldn't do that. President Trump shouldn't do that. People on our side are being tired of what I've just described, and they're ready for somebody to take their fist and punch somebody back in the nose.
Mm-hmm. Ben Shapiro.
In a Christian way.
Yes. metaphorically speaking.
Ben Shapiro wrote a little booklet. It takes all of a half an hour to read through the whole thing, but it's about how the difference in the way that the two sides fight. And it's a very revealing look. It talks about the tactics that the left use. I'd recommend anybody who wants to look into that. The other thing I'm thinking about is Solomon, and when he was confronted with the two women who were fighting over the baby, and his thing was, well, split the baby down the middle. And of course the mom, the real mom, said, no, don't do that, let her have it. It's like people are willing to split this country down the middle and kill the experiment we have. The only problem is there's no Solomon to decide who loves the country more and where to go, because we are going down two completely opposite tracks.
Yeah, I would say I'm not sure that's an accurate description, because to me what's happened is you have the progressive side of the country that's already split the country. They're the ones, in other words, everyone had already for a long time agreed on what this country was and what our founding ideas are. The progressives don't even agree. They despise the sentiments of the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
They're the ones who started changing this country. Now that the rest of us are waking up and saying, hey, wait a second, we want this country to go back to the way it was. So they're the ones that already split it, and we're now fighting to say, we're not going to let you do that. We're not going to let you do that without a fight.
Mm-hmm. No, I
can't have the country.
I agree with that. The last thing I would have to say on this, you guys can tell me when you want to go on and everything, is it just escaped my mind. It was a brilliant comment that I'll have to come back to later.
Well,
have you ever done that?
I've
got Ed's little, can't remember.
Yeah, see, you mocked me.
I did.
I came right back at you.
Can I do anything to help provoke your memory? Can you need to retrace your steps?
No.
You don't want to go back in the other room and walk back in here?
It was, no, we're okay. Okay. I probably wasn't that.
You had some other stories?
Yeah, I do. Folks, if you think about it, pray for Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson had a stroke on Sunday, and he was taken fairly quickly to a hospital. They recognized the signs, and they got what is being described as a clot-busting drug called TPA. He got it about 80 minutes after the onset of symptoms, and they are saying that they expect a full recovery. Neurologists declared the rapid recovery to be a TPA miracle. Was something I think they see.
Did you say miracle?
Miracle.
Did you mean miracle?
I did mean miracle.
Okay. I'm just trying to help, Steve.
Thank you.
Miracle, right here in America.
I'm your friend. I'm just trying to help you out there.
It's a miracle. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, Pat Robertson is doing okay, but he did have a stroke over
Founder
the weekend.
Founder of the 700 Club, yeah. CBN and all
yeah.
that.
He's
yes.
been, my word, he's been on the air with that show since what, the 70s?
Oh, it's been a long time, yeah.
Yeah. Is he still host that? The 700 Club?
I don't know if he does. I don't watch. I know, but
he didn't for. He went away for a few years.
His
I think
son
his
did
son,
it for a while, right? But I've seen him on it here in the last several years. I don't know whether he's a usual host.
What age is he, Steve?
He's
CBN, which he founded, is 57 years old. So he's got to be in his 80s, I think.
He's well up in his 80s.
Yeah.
He ran for president, didn't he? Was that 1980?
Been
88.
He ran the Republican
and
primary.
And won? Did he won Iowa?
Probably.
Or
yeah.
Came in second or something like that? Or
started off hot and then faded. Yeah. Over the weekend, also, or at least I think this maybe happened. On Sunday night we had another train accident. This is the third fatal train accident in the last couple months.
Amtrak.
Amtrak, you remember the train that derailed over the bridge in Washington mm-hmm. State that shut down all of the freeways and everything, and then, of course, the train accident last week with all the members of Congress heading, that was on Friday, I think, or maybe it was before that, but they were heading to their retreat in Virginia, and they had that, which killed somebody not in the train. And then Sunday's collision was in South Carolina, and it left two dead and scores injured. And what happened was that the Amtrak train crashed into a CXS freight train.
And how does that happen?
Well, I couldn't. The NTSB is figuring out how this happened, but I can tell you, and everybody can tell you, how it could be stopped, which is what they're calling positive train control. That's basically where they have a real-time reading of where every train is, and a computer helps figure out what tracks they should be on and what tracks they shouldn't be on, and speed. And we're talking this morning, of course, you know, they're developing cars that have automatic braking when something happens. You could be able to put that in a train, and granted, it takes a lot longer, but you'd have a whole lot longer to figure out because the train's on the track and they can't go anywhere else.
So you're like an air traffic controller for trains?
Well, partly an automatic system. You know, Tim, I don't know if your car probably doesn't have it, but they're making these cars now so that if you are for some reason not paying attention and you come upon a slower moving object, the car will automatically put the brakes on for
you. I've seen that. Yeah.
Listen, I have a 2000 Toyota Camry that brakes automatically. all kinds of things break on it.
That's true.
Every time I crank that thing up, it breaks automatically. Oh, you're talking. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he's talking about computer generated, Ed. Not normal malfunctioning of a 17-year-old car.
Yeah, yeah, that would happen too.
But you know what? This is not good advertising for Amtrak, and I've wanted to take a train ride.
Yeah. I do. I would too.
Me too.
I'd like to do that.
I'd like to take some sort of cross country train ride. I don't know.
I would too.
City of New Orleans or whatever, you know. I mean, everybody's nostalgic for
the song. The song, City of New Orleans.
But three wrecks in 49 days, and they're all three human error. Is that right?
That's what it's.
Yeah,
they're trying to. They'll have to figure out this one.
Well, but what can you
say?
Well,
they were reporting this morning is this fault of the two men.
Yeah.
In the front. So, I'm sorry.
Someone made a bad decision somewhere. If there's two trains on the same track.
This isn't good advertising for Amtrak, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could do it. I mean, how many times can you say, oops?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, our bad. Get back on.
Yeah. You can trust us. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring a couple of lighter issues to us, if is that okay?
Well, you got a couple in 2 minutes.
Okay.
2 minutes,
so this
stories.
Is from, this first one would be from the Snowflake file.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Snowflake.
This comes to us courtesy of Campus Reform, and their Cabot Phillips went to Jay College in New York City, and he interviewed some people, and he quoted them State of the Union address quotes and asked them what they thought of it. Now, the people he was interviewing thought that they were talking about the latest State of the Union for President Trump, but he switched it up on them, and he gave them President Obama's quotes.
Brilliant.
Let's see what they said.
Talking about ISIS, saying, quote, we need to call them what they are, killers and fanatics who have to be hunted down and destroyed. What's your thought on that?
Well, first off, ISIS is fake. It's something the government made up so they can continue doing what they want to do, which is world domination.
Donald Trump should, like, you know, mind his own business and, like, just focus on America because he's the president of the United States, not of the whole world.
Talking about the general world stage, saying, quote, when you come after Americans, we come after you. It may take time, but we have long memories and our reach has no limit. What's your thought on that?
It's like he doesn't think before speaking and how it's going to offend a lot of people.
I mean, he's got small hands, so I don't know about his reach. So.
And finally, talking about China, saying China wants to write the rules. That would put us at a disadvantage. Why should we let that happen? We should write those rules.
I wouldn't mess with China.
He's over the top in general, so. It's par for the course.
It's like everything is out the window. Like, oh, whatever he's, China, China, China.
So when did they tell these people that they were actually quoting President Obama?
After they gave them three or four quotes and they said that. And the reaction was one guy didn't believe him. And everybody else was like, oh, well, maybe you should give the president a chance, maybe. I didn't realize. Oops. Yeah, there's a lot of
that's
back,
funny.
I love those
back.
Men on the street things.
Yeah.
Where did you find that?
That was that? Breitbart had that on, and it probably is on Campus Reform's webpage as well.
Okay. Yeah, and it's on Drudge if you're looking it up.
Okay.
And so, Walker, will you put that on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
I sure will.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. We are out of time. We thank you for yours. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker. And we will see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.